Work it, make it, do it. Makes us harder, better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right, comes back to the left, going long for Gordon. He's out there and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Unbelievable catch, unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
Final day from Radio Row, Super Bowl 48 here in Midtown Manhattan. Vic Carucci with you for the full 2 hours, along with Nathan Zagora. He is in Northeast Ohio. We have got a massive final show here from Radio Row. Going to have a nice mix of people. We're going to have people from Hollywood. Dennis Leary. How about that? He plays the part of the coach in the movie Draft Day. I got to see that yesterday, brother. I was at the premiere. They had two premieres here in New York. Saw it. Loved it. It is for those of us, it's not only a Cleveland thing, but it is a good football thing, and they did a really good job. I thought they stretched a lot of stuff, but that's what Hollywood does. But the move, the elements of football, the draft, are right there. I think you're going to really like this. I mean, I don't think it's going to win any awards, but I think it's a very solid movie that you can feel good about, especially as a Clevelander and especially as someone who loves football.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see it. And so give me a little background. I know we're going to have one of the stars of the movie here on the show today.
Yes, Dennis Leary is going to be with us. Again, he plays the coach in the movie. You're going to hear from Dennis Leary about 1:25. And it's going to be pretty cool because his part is, you know, very Leary-esque. You know, it's got that edge to it, and he brings it to the table. There's a nice conflict with him and Kevin Costner, who plays the GM. And I got to tell you, you would want both of those guys to be your coach and your GM right now. I mean, just their personnel. Oh, my God. They played very convincing roles, and they've got this, the static and friction going on throughout the movie. I want to give it all away, but their static and friction is just a fun thing to watch the way it plays out. And Leary does a really nice job with that, and we're going to talk with him more about it throughout the show, so we'll have a lot of fun with that as well. Going to hear from a couple of Browns. Going to hear from your boy Josh Gordon. He is going to join us around 1:35. We're looking forward to the Browns Pro Bowl wide receiver. And we're going to hear from Brian Hoyer, quarterback of the Browns, in the 2 o'clock hour, right around 2:15 or so. And, of course, this is a big day, big news. The announcement of the partnership between the Browns and University Hospitals, the new medical partner of the Cleveland Browns. So we are going to have team president Alex Shiner join us to talk about that. And we will also look forward to talking with the chief medical officer, Peter Brumleave, who is the chief medical officer of University Hospitals. Both Alex Shiner and Peter will be on set with us to talk about this huge, huge deal that has been put together between the Browns and University Hospitals. And we're going to have David Baker on. Now, I don't know, you know, those of you who say follow Arena Football will remember he was the commissioner of the Arena Football League. He is now the president of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So right down the road in Canton, David Baker takes over that entity. He replaces a guy who had done a great job there for a long time and now has retired. So David Baker takes over, and we'll hear from him as well. And Gerard Cherry, 2:45, he will make his usual. Steve Perry, by the way, was the former president of the Hall of Fame and has gone into retirement, did an amazing job with them. But I got to tell you, this is interesting. David Baker, I've known David for a while. He's a big presence in every possible way. Played at USC. His son, Sam Baker, is an offensive lineman for the Atlanta Falcons. And you can see how the genes get passed down. Baker is a towering, massive, big old guy who's got big ideas for the Pro Football Hall of Fame and just how to do much more with it and its reach beyond just being a place that houses all those bronze busts. So we're going to hear from him as well. Nathan, the coaching search goes on. Reports are that the Browns at least have a quarterback's coach that they're bringing aboard from Tennessee, but still no offensive coordinator.
Which is odd, no, to have a quarterback's coach before an offensive coordinator?
A little bit. I got to go with that. Odd is the right word for that. A little different.
What is your take on this? And I know this guy, he's young, I believe 33, regarded as a very bright mind. He's been the offensive coordinator with Tennessee Titans the last couple of seasons.
Right.
Did some good things with Jake Locker. There was a feeling that he did make some development and that he is a good quarterback's guru in that sense. So what's your take on the hiring or the rumored hiring? And it's been basically reported everywhere but by the Browns. So I think at this point it pretty much is clear that it's happening. What's your take on that? And then why do you think this is being announced now and we're hearing that the coordinator search may extend into next week?
Yeah, I have tried really hard to get that answer. I've asked a lot of different people, and I'm still going to ask more people if I can, you know, to sort of get to the bottom of this. But Dal Loggins is, I believe we're pronouncing that right, L-O-G-G-A-I-N-S.
Yep.
Okay, so Dal comes aboard as the quarterback's coach, at least that's what the report is. It hasn't been officially announced or officially done by the Browns, so we're treating it only as a reported story at this point from different media entities. He's 33 years old. He, I don't think, brings the full level of accomplishment, at least in the eyes of the Browns hierarchy, to feel that he is ready to, say, run this offense. And coming in as a quarterback's coach, I think the feeling is that he could work well regardless of whose offense is there, that he is about the mechanics of the quarterback position. Not a big guy. He's if you've ever met Dal, and I've been around him, to say he is not a towering figure would be an understatement. He's just that, you know, he's a diminutive man. So he will doesn't mean a damn thing. I mean, he can come in and teach and work with quarterbacks, but a diminutive presence, comes in with great respect from the Tennessee staff and the people I've spoken with there. But in terms of how it fits for the offensive coordinator, generally you would think the OC would build his own staff, but the Browns have already hired a tight ends coach. So the coaching staff is being built by primarily, I guess, by Mike Patton and his vision of who would work well with him as a head coach. And I think he sees the offensive coordinator, to specifically answer your question of how it works where the OC doesn't pick his own quarterback's coach, is that he's got to work with the head coach. The head coach's vision, everyone, including the OC and the defensive coordinator and all the position coaches, have to pour, kind of channel into, funnel into that.
Right, which I get. Now, what do you make of the rumors that the Kyle Shanahan thing went south because he told them basically what he thought of the firing of Rob Chudzinski, and then that didn't sit well with the Browns? What do you make of that speculation?
I've heard the same speculation. I think there's some substance to it. I think Kyle Shanahan came in feeling he had the most juice, credibility among any of the candidates that the Browns were looking at, and I think it's fair for an outsider to just look at the list. I mean, when I say outside the hiring process, to look at the list and come to that conclusion. And Kyle kind of came into that very much with a level, as I understand it, a level of some skepticism and not really sure that this would be the right fit for him. I don't know all the particulars. I'm not going to pretend to know that what he said, not in those meetings, not in those conversations. But I've talked with people around here, the buzz around here at the Super Bowl, NFL people who are pursuing this, talking with others. And, you know, one of the things that was said to me that kind of was a little perspective, and they said, look, Kyle has, through his career, gotten a lot out of being Mike Shanahan's son, that he has played that to the hilt, and that may not necessarily be the best, it wasn't said to me in the best way of what Kyle is all about, in that to separate him sort of from his dad and to pull apart the teamwork that they had going for themselves in Washington doesn't necessarily make Kyle as, quote, strong an entity as he was with the Redskins up to the time that he was fired. And I don't know how great his rep was there, quite honestly. We've talked about that on this show. The problems he had with Donovan McNabb, the problems he had with Robert Griffin III, the history of those relationships, I think, are troubling when you look at Shanahan, and that's my reservation in talking with him. I have not been opposed to the idea of him being hired, had that worked out, and I'm not saying unequivocally it wouldn't work out still, but it doesn't look like it's going to work out, and I got those vibes yesterday, expressed those on the show, and I'm seeing this not going down the direction of Kyle Shanahan coming aboard the Cleveland Browns coaching staff. But all that said, if he went into those interviews with sort of a sense of attitude of, hey, I'm you need me a lot more than I need you, then I can see how that's not going to work out.
Do you, how important in your time being around things like this is that personality meld between the front office and the offensive coordinator? Because ultimately, I would think people don't always have to be best friends to be great, have a very successful professional relationship.
Right.
So how important is that? How much is that valued?
Such a great point that I don't know that friendships necessarily have to matter in this context, that you get along enough to work along. That's what I've always sort of seen happens in football. A lot of big egos, a lot of clashes. I was referencing the movie Draft Day. I mean, in the dramatic sense of a script, I think they captured quite well the natural friction that happens between front office and coaching staff. And I think there's validity to that. I think there was a purpose behind working that into the script because it's reflective of the real life of the NFL.
Sure.
And I'm okay with that. I think it's a good thing. In most places I've seen have success, there's some level of friction, even in the most successful
creative
programs.
Sure.
People just have that little bit of something, that edge. And it keeps everybody on their toes. There's a checks and balances that also needs to be there. That all said, coordinator specifically, Nathan, I don't know that it has to matter as much between the coordinators in the front office as it does between the coach and the head coach in the front office.
Right.
I think he's got to be the buffer. I think he's got to be the guy. If they've got a problem with what the coordinators are doing, go to the head coach and figure that out and not make it a direct issue with the OC. But you know the problem with the Browns job is? The OC position is so critically important, Nathan,
right,
that I think that's what's the overriding factor here.
To me, it's so important that I'll take the best guy even if I don't want to go out and have a steak dinner with him, because
right,
at the end
right
of the day, we're all going to be having steak dinners and drinking champagne when this team starts winning in the fall. So given everything that you said, and I know you're basically at the epicenter of the National Football League right now, every reporter, every insider, everybody is there. Who's out there? Who are the people now that are on the list, in your opinion, to take this job for the Browns?
I have a scary thought here. No one. No one that I think in my mind is out there that I absolutely, you know, have to have, want to have. All the want to have guys have either decided to not come here. You know, Cam Cameron was a name. We heard Gary Kubiak's name. We've gone down this list, and then Kyle Shanahan's name came up, and I'm out of names right now. That doesn't mean we can't find somebody somewhere that I'll learn about, know about, but I don't have that name. I just don't.
And let me say
I'm
this
being
too,
blunt about it.
And tell me if you agree with this or not. Adam Gase wasn't a name. There are plenty of coordinators
right
that aren't names that are
correct
successful because the team assembles the proper talent on offense,
right,
and then they're very good.
Yep.
So to me, really, everybody who gets to this level is probably pretty smart, has a good idea of how to
yes
design plays that are successful in the National
yep
Football
all
League.
Right.
The onus is really going to be on the front office to
yep
give that coordinator the talent,
the
requisite talent to succeed.
All right. We have got much more coming up. We're going to have a conversation with Dennis Leary from the movie Draft Day. That'll be coming up here next on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci in Manhattan at Super Bowl 48. Nathan Zagura back in Northeast Ohio. Stick around for more on ESPN 850 WKNR. Magic marker.